Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Right now, we're joined by Jonathan Casillas, who, of course, does the Giants pre- and post-games right now on the radio. Unfortunately, you know, it's after another loss again with this team, Jonathan, where you see the Giants struggling 0-2 going into Cleveland. What'd you see from, I thought it was a significant improvement, though, from week one to week two. Brutal loss. What did you see first glance at the Giants here in week two?
I agree with you on one side of the ball. I think there was an improvement definitely on offense. I think Daniel Jones played a lot better. He looked a lot more comfortable. Malik Nabers, we all kind of knew what he was, but I think he put, you know, everybody in the league on notice that he is that guy. Unfortunate drop at the end, but you know, we have a short-term memory when you win. So if the Giants can win and he can get another catch like that, because he will be in that situation again, something similar, he can make us all forget about it. But the defense, that was my thing. Giving up 215 rushing yards on the ground, you know, Shane Bowen's defense is, you know, his defense is known for not giving up, you know, 100-yard rushers in the red zone. And, yes, red zone held up, you know, 100%, 0 for 7, whatever it was. For the Commanders in the red zone. But that rushing yardage, man, that is not good at all. But then I watched Drew Phillips. Guys, I don't know, besides Dexter Lawrence, who else is playing at a high level on defense like Drew Phillips, bro? He played an outstanding, not even just the last game, the first 2 weeks, this kid's been playing some good football, man. So some stuff I want to, you know, things they got to correct, but there's some promise there. It's a lot better than I felt after the Vikings lost, for sure.
Yeah, overall, Jonathan, I was with you. I mean, look, they're 0-2, and I know people made a big deal about the kicker. I'm kind of over that by now. We can look ahead to the Browns in a second here. And I'm with you with Phillips. He looks like an absolute beast. Why, though, do you think? Like, the defense was okay not allowing a touchdown, but why couldn't they get the Washington football team to punt? What was the issue with the Giants' defense not being able to get the ball back to their offense?
Well, I think, number one, they were getting out-physical. You know, Washington had it in their mind that they're going to, you know, run the ball, and that's what they did. And the Giants couldn't do anything about it. So they got out physical. They got hit in the mouth right away. They really didn't respond. I saw some split back stuff and some single back stuff from the Commanders that puts a defense into a single gap spacing, meaning every single person has a gap. And, you know, some young guys, they may have been a little late or out of position, and the Commanders exposed them in the run game. And that was basically it. I didn't really see too many guys getting, like destroyed or manhandled. It was more like a misfit, a little late, a bad angle here. And I think those are all things that can be corrected,
yeah,
which is good, you know. But at the same time, it still happened. And Cleveland, you know, they're going to run the ball. Like, they're looking at that film like, oh, yeah, we're going to we're going to be able to do anything we want to those guys. Because if you can run the football, you can basically do anything you want on offense.
Yeah, even though Deshaun Watson's a mess, I hear it's going to open up some passing lanes. Jonathan Casillas with us, BT and Sal every week. Of course, he is in the Giants radio booth, pre- and post-game show. Does a great job with us all season. A bigger picture before we actually get into the Browns, some other stuff here. You know, whether it's Dable, whether it's other coaches in the past, when a coach is, whether it's right or wrong, is on the hot seat and asked questions so pointedly in a press conference after week two, how does that, if it does, trickle into the locker room for the players?
Well, I think, you know, most teams, you know, especially teams that, you know, have had their coach for a significant amount of time, you know, teams kind of, you know, take on and embody their head coach's personality, you know, and, you know, when you're winning games, you know, you can almost not talk however you want, but they give you a little bit more grace, a little bit more leeway. The leash is, you know, pretty much out there like it
Belichick.
Was in 2022.
Like Belichick. He can say whatever he wants. Right. And I got you. Keep going. Yep.
And then people just go along with it. But, you know, when you're losing games, people want answers. People want answers when you're losing games. And there's questions that need to be answered. You know, so it's kind of, you know, and I talked to you guys last week about how it was comical listening to some of the post-game interviews because it's kind of what I'm saying. It's like they're embodying what Dayball is, and it's difficult because you kind of got to answer some questions. You know, when you're losing, you got to answer some questions. So you can't keep deflecting. You know, you have to be straight up. And, you know, New York media, they're Jordan Renan and those guys, they're asking those questions that you don't want to get asked. You know, that's like, if I had a list of questions I don't want to get asked, Jordan Renan and those guys, they're going to ask those questions. The first questions you're going to get are those questions. So you got to understand where you're at. This is New York. You know, New York media is, they're not the like, oh, it's so much. It's like, no, they're going to ask those tough questions because the people want to hear the answers to them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Dable has handled the early pressure well?
Say that one more time.
Do you think the Dables handled the early pressure well?
We're going to have to see, you know, because it's still early, and you're asking about early pressure, so we're still kind of in it right now. But the team has to respond, you know. The team has to, I would say, defend their coach, you know, because y'all have to play better.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Dayball's going to defend you guys as much as he can, but you can't just keep putting, you know, like, the Vikings was a bad loss. People, I think, overanalyzed it because it was the Vikings, and I got my hands in quotations and Sam Darnold, but y'all just saw what they did to San Fran. I think they might be a little bit better than people think, you know, and then you can't lose to the Commanders. And it's like, I get that too, but the Giants got to figure out how to win games. So the questions, they slow down a little bit, and they're given a little bit more grace because if the head coach is going to continue to do that, that has to go hand-in-hand with winning because I don't think that's a winning formula to handle media and you're not winning games.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Jonathan Casillas, does pre and post for the Giants. Great guy to have on to talk about all things Giants. All right, well, you talk about winning games. Nothing they can do about it now. They've lost the first two, but they do head to Cleveland here. You know, significant underdog on the road in Cleveland. We know about Cleveland's defense, although they've been sloppy the first couple of games as well, just overall Deshaun Watson, all of that. How, Jonathan, is it possible for the Giants to go into Cleveland? What do they need to do to go into Cleveland and come out with a dub?
Well, I think offensively, keep improving, you know, not turning the ball over. I think the offensive line, they've improved from the first week to the second week. And if they can continue to do that and, you know, continue to, you know, distribute the ball, because I think that was one thing I took from the offense. They didn't distribute the ball that well. I think it was only four players that actually had a reception in the game, if I'm not mistaken. And I think they got to get a little bit more diverse in how they distribute the football. And then defensively, man, y'all got to be more physical. You know, y'all got to be able to establish that, hey, you're not running the football on us. You know, and they have the pieces to do it. You know, I'm not looking at a team, you look at their defensive roster, I'm not looking at a team that's like, hey, they don't have the guys on defense to slow down a rushing attack like the Cleveland Browns or like, you know, the Commanders or whoever in the league. They do have the guys. People have to understand how to play with Dexter Lawrence, right? When Damon Snacks Harrison, when he got to the Giants, I've never played with anybody like him. Like, he was a dominant force. He was averaging like 80-something tackles at defensive tackle, which is insane. I had to learn how to play with that dude. It took some games, but when you have a guy that dominant, you have to. It takes a little while to learn how to play with guys like that. And I think that's the reason why you're seeing not as much production as we thought from certain guys that we might have thought that was going to be leading the team right now in whatever it is, pressures or sacks or whatever the case is, because they have to understand how to play with Dexter, because Dexter is doing things that nobody else in the league is doing right now.
Okay.
You know, so I think they will figure it out. I got my fingers crossed when I'm saying that, because I hope they do, because I got a lot of respect for a lot of guys on that defensive unit.
So, I mean, I can't answer this. When does the, and it's not an excuse, it's more context on your part, and I appreciate it, but when does that context evaporate? Like, when do they need to get used to playing with him by before it's a problem?
2 weeks ago.
I got you. You know what I mean, you know?
I don't know, man. They got to do it in a hurry, because, you know, I don't think the offense is dynamic enough to bail the defense out.
Yep.
You know, like last week, you know, it's only giving up, you know, field goals. All right, offense, let's get enough points to beat a team that can't score a touchdown. You know, but unless they figure out how to play complementary football, meaning the defense can be allowed to glue together, you know, new defensive coordinator, some new pieces here and there, you know, but it's like, do you really have that much time? And I say that much time. Spagnuolo's defense, right, for the Chiefs. He used to be the D coordinator for the Giants back in 07. He was my defensive coordinator back in 15, 16, and 17. It took us a little while to catch on to Spags' defense. In 2007, they got smoked twice to open up the year. I don't know, 100 points scored in defense. But they believed, they bought in. It took a little while to do it. But eventually it happens. They just can't. They can't fault in their belief. They have to be steadfast and believe in each other, believe in Shane Bowen, what Shane Bowen doing, and they will improve if they have that mentality. I don't know how long. I'm hoping it happens in Cleveland this weekend.
You think, Jonathan, this is a well-coached football team?
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I think so. I think there has been mistakes throughout, whether it was coaching, players, you know, performance-wise, on the field, whatever it is. And it's still a young team. You know, the Giants have a young roster, one of the youngest in the league. You know, so I expect there to be mistakes, but I also expect for you to learn from your mistakes, you know, as all adults should do. You know, so I don't like to repeat mistakes from any player or coach, you know, and that needs to be improved, or, you know, it's going to be a struggle this year. They have to improve on, you know, in every aspect of it, you know, the coaching, the players, you know, personnel-wise. You have to keep improving, because there's other teams around the league that kind of got those things figured out already.
I think that's fair. I really do. Final thing for me, Jonathan Casillas, BT and Sal on the Fan. So, granted, small sample for the Giants, but also a small sample from the rest of the NFC East here. Is it maybe not quite as potent as we thought coming in on paper? What do you see in the division?
What, the NFC East, you're saying?
Yeah, just the East, yep.
Well, I mean, we're last in the division after 2 weeks, so I don't, you know what I mean? Like, we're fighting now from behind. We're already behind.
Yeah, but Dallas doesn't look as good. You know, like, the other teams maybe don't look as good as I thought. That's really why I'm curious. Not that the Giants are playing well. They're not. But are the other teams as good as we thought?
Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's still early. You know what I mean? It's only 2 weeks in. You see a lot of things happen in the first month of the season. I think teams don't really hit their stride until, like, midway through the season. And with how everything is with the preseason nowadays, that's basically like now we're starting the season, because you got your two preseasons out the way. Now let's go ahead and put it on there. It sucks that you're counting the games, but if you really think about it, when I play guys, we, as a starter, you played at least four quarters of football in the preseason, at least. You're playing three quarters in that third preseason and at least one quarter either in the second or the first preseason game. Now these guys are getting 10 plays. I don't know how they're ready to play football.
Some teams are ready.
Around the league.
Hey, some teams are ready.
I agree with that. Minnesota looked ready from the first pass of the game. Well, I guess the first pass was a sack, but you know what I'm saying? Like, they looked early week one. They looked good week one.
Saints look ready.
And yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. But most teams, though, I think they're still trying to figure out what they are.
Okay. All right, man.
Jonathan, you think Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer, surefire Hall of Famer?
Yes, I just don't know if it's first ballot. You know, I think because there's arguments out there against, you know, him making it to the Hall of Fame, I think that's why he's not going to be first ballot. But, of course, I believe he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm not even really looking at the numbers per se, because if you do that, I'm sure there are guys that made it back in the 70s and 80s that don't deserve to be in there if you're going straight on the numbers.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I'll tell you what, and I'm not talking about Eli here, there's other guys just based on sheer statistical accumulation. And actually, this does apply a little bit to Eli, where you play for a long time, you have great durability, you look up, you got a million yards, you got a million touchdowns, but were you truly a superstar? Yeah, Eli, nobody's, if anybody doubts that Eli's going to eventually get in, they're nuts. I'm with you. I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Listen, week to week, Jonathan, back in the day, you know, I could ramble off 7, 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks who were simply better. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree, but there is a such thing as a body of work that you cannot take from Eli. You know, the body of work that he put together in his 16-year career, you know, playing basically not missing a game for the entire time. He got benched. I was a part of that. I hated that I was a part of that. I hated that I had to watch that back in 2017.
In Oakland, right? Against the Raiders.
Oh man, it was not a good look right there. But you know, his body of work is a Hall of Fame career. You know what I mean? Like some guys play Hall of Fame careers in 8 to 10 years, like Aaron Donald just did. Aaron Donald played a Hall of Fame career in 10 years. You know, but you get a guy that, you know, doesn't have quite the numbers as Aaron Donald over 8 years, then he doesn't get considered. But the longer your career is, the better you are, and you don't have to be the best. But the longer you are really good or even great, the longer you are that, I think the more possibility for you to make it and to leave your mark on the league like Eli has done. There's no question that Eli has left a mark in the league.
A gentleman, I mean, durable, champion, no doubt. But
Man of the year, I mean, come on.
Man of the year, absolutely. I'll tell you one thing, though, and I think another good example of this, to talk about the Hall of Fame stuff, is my boy Tiki. I mean, now, Tiki, and I've talked to him about this a million times because I'm close with Tiki. I worked with him for 10 years. People don't always believe this, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. He doesn't care that he missed the championship. He doesn't care that he retired early. Tiki just has other interests, and it makes him a unique person. But if Tiki would have hung around another year or two, he's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I actually think that Tiki, I know it's a different position, Tiki at his apex was just simply better than Eli at his apex. And I don't even think it's close. Tiki was one of the best players in the league. Eli was not.
I agree with that. Tiki Barber was phenomenal.
Yeah.
For like a two or three-year span, he averaged like 2,000 yards all-purpose.
He's a beast.
Year. And once he figured out that fumble problem that he had early in his career, man, he was playing football. But talked about the shorter career.
Well, I think we're losing Jonathan there. All right, but that doesn't.
He's running back.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, at the risk of getting in trouble again, just pot it down, Dove, and say goodbye to Jonathan. I think we have a bad connection there. Jonathan, we love you. I'm not hanging up on you. We appreciate the time. Bad phone line, but we're about to wrap it up anyway. The one thing that I will say, though, is you can't, like, Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer. Now, whether Tiki gets in or not, that's a different conversation.
He's going to get in, I think, eventually.
Which would be great. I don't think comparing the two is fair.
Eli, one's a quarterback, one's a running back, obviously.
No, I know, but even saying like Tiki was better at his position than Eli was.
He was. I don't even think he's close.
No, but Eli, you can't eliminate the two postseason runs.
No, I understand that. But
with those runs, then how could you say that?
Well, I understand your pushback. I do. But like, to me, you know, Tiki had his, again, apex Tiki, top tier, prime stud, super stud Tiki, wasn't that far behind Barry Sanders.
Right.
I mean, Eli was never like Mahomes or Steve Young or Joe Montana. I mean, come on.
I'd rather just Tiki's a Hall of Famer or Tiki isn't a Hall of Famer as opposed to Tiki versus Eli because I think it diminishes.
I'm not trying to pit them against each other. Man. I'm not trying to make it personal.
I get it, but you guys are both saying,
they've already been there, by the way.
Well, I get it. Right.
They rectified that. I'm not trying to drum it back up.
But putting, you know, Tiki saying he's better than Eli, I can't say that because I saw with my own eyes, as pedestrian as Eli was in his regular season career, what he did in the postseason is second to none.
I don't know if it's second to none. That's a little hyperbolic.
To me. How's it hyperbolic? To none? He went on two of the more incredible runs.
Look at Joe Montana. He's 4-0.
Understood, but those are great 49ers teams. Eli went on two runs
Tiki played on a lot of bad Giant teams.
Understood.
You want to incorporate that aspect now.
But what Eli did was take average Giant teams.
Eli had an awesome offensive line and a great defensive line.
What was
and
record.
A Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, what was the record?
If Eli played better, they wouldn't have won nine games.
Understood,
come on. What do you think Tom Brady would have won with that
but
team?
But that's a different
or
argument.
Dan Marino.
In the postseason.
Or Phil Sims.
In the postseason. Again, this is facts. This is not even opinion. In the postseason, Eli Manning went on two of the most incredible runs in the history of the NFL.
I'm not going to push back on that because I wouldn't even try. You're factually right, but I also don't. I want to stop there because I don't want to make it seem like I'm disrespecting Eli. Absolute Hall of Famer. I think that was my way to elevate Tiki, not denigrate Eli.
BT and Sal on the Fan will come back, have some of your calls. We got to get into the Mets as well, and there is some news with the Mets that we'll get. The Tiki Eli stuff, people are going to want to call and talk about this. I just don't like pitting the two together. Either Tiki, and by the way, we both are in agreement that both are Hall of Famers, right? I mean, I'm assuming you agree that Tiki should be in. You just basically said that.
Yes, but I think that Tiki was a better player.
You see, that's where I don't know if I can go there.
I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
Let me simplify it this way. And if you don't agree, that's fine. And I understand it's not trying to pit them against each other. To me, it's really contextualizing both careers. To me, for 3-4 years, Tiki was one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Period. Eli was never close.
Right.
Never.
Right. I get that.
That's all I'm saying.
I know, but I also, it's selective because we're just going based off of regular seasons, which is the majority of the time.
It's 16 games.
Understood. But Eli went on if Eli went on one Super Bowl run, I think we could have that argument. The fact that he did it twice,
Well, I'm not saying Tiki's the more important Giant. Eli's the more important Giant.
How were they ranked again? I forget. In the top 100. Tiki was what?
12, maybe.
Okay,
Tiki?
Right around there. And where was Eli? Hoff, maybe you could get that for us. I'm just curious.
And I feel like Eli was, it was a couple of older guys. Yeah. Lawrence Taylor, obviously. I feel like Eli was 7. I could be off on that. 6 or 7-ish.
Right.
You know, but let's also not make it seem like, and I'm trying to find it here, the first year. What was the first year of the Giants? Was that 07? Hold on. Calendar year 07? I think it was. All right, so the first game to start his run. Remember I said they won in Tampa, they won in Dallas, they won in Green Bay, and then they beat the Pats. The first game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, let's just see what Eli did. I mean, it's like he's going out there for 388 yards, dude.
Right.
All right, so that's the first game. I remember the second game, and I'm going to look this up, but I remember it was the low-scoring game, but I think they may have been losing at the half to Dallas, and then I think Romo threw a pick. Could be off on the Romo pick, but Eli, the second game, threw 183 yards.
I know. I get it, but just in clutch spots.
Yeah,
but he made big plays and led them. Just to
the Knicks pass.
For clarification, Tiki was 14, Eli was 8, Carl Banks was 17.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.